Now, back to a special edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, live and on location.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, live from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. Nathan Zagura, Jason Gibbs, happy to be joined now by the general manager of the Cleveland Browns, Mr. Ray Farmer. Ray, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Nathan, how are you?
I'm good. Always good to be with you here. The Combine, always an interesting thing, draws. It's become a huge phenomenon now. As the general manager of the Browns, what does the Combine mean to you? What are you looking for here over the next few days?
The Combine means it's really three opportunities to get a chance to engage players and find out different pieces of the puzzle. So the main piece, I said this earlier, is probably medical. Also get a chance to interview and spend time with each individual player, assuming that you have that those kind of resources. And then obviously the on-the-field stuff, so you get to see a guy's athleticism shine in the drills that they do.
How big is the 40-yard dash to you? Because that's what, you know, all the TV coverage, the hullabaloo is about. So how big is that to you in your evaluation?
It's a piece of the puzzle. I wouldn't say that it's some magnanimous piece that takes a guy up or down or makes him go from being a mid-round pick to a high-round pick or anything like that. What I would tell you is that it's a validator. So when you see a guy and what he does on the tape, it'll validate that information. And I would tell you that for our perspective, it comes down a lot to play speed. So for those listening, it's more about how a guy plays the game in his pads than he runs in shorts.
When you come here to this combine, how set are you with your draft board after going through the tape? As we know, that's kind of the meat of the evaluation. So how set is it before you come here? And you know, what are you looking for to add or subtract to somebody? Is it the interviews? Is it the physicality you see on the field?
I would tell you that it's a combination of factors. Draft boards are put together, and you kind of have an idea of where guys are. It's not finalized, but I would tell you that there's a lot of pieces of the puzzle already starting to fall into place. To that end, you're looking to clear up some of those question marks and some of those ties. So when you look at the board, and I'll use an easy example, you have a player both with a two grade, and they're both twos. You got to figure out how to separate that two. And a lot of times that's character and some of the intangibles of the player.
If you had to tell me the two position groups that you wanted to attack the most this offseason, what would they be?
I would tell you, I don't know. I'd let you choose. And from there, I would tell you that.
I think you do know.
I do know.
Okay. But you won't tell me that.
But I won't tell you.
Okay.
To that end, I would tell you that, you know, we're always looking to advance our team, evaluate who we are, and then evaluate where those holes are. It doesn't mean that you're going to address that position at that moment, in part because it's about, it's like the law of supply and demand. You may not have the wares to get what you want at the moment, and you're aware of it, but you may not be able to fill that need at that moment. So you got to organize your needs and then work from there.
A lot of people think the Browns do need to address the wide receiver position. How do you evaluate that position, its importance? I know you've talked about smoke screens and what you really feel. And how do you kind of evaluate? What are the strengths or the pros and cons as you see it between taller receivers and then smaller receivers? The Browns have two of the better smaller receivers in the league in Andrew Hawkins, of course, Taylor Gabriel.
I still go back to the same point I would make, is that it's all about skill sets. You got to decide who you want to be and what you want to do, and then you got to find people that have those skills to bring those to the table. You know, size and height and speed and all those things, they come into play. And I would tell you, from a generic perspective, everything being equal, you take the bigger guy. That's just kind of how it goes, is that if they run the same, they move the same, they can run the same routes, and the skill sets are the same, you take the bigger guy. In that instance, sometimes little guys have skills that bigger guys don't. And so you just got to find out who you want to be and what you want to do, and then give guys those opportunities to do those.
Quarterback position, obviously a major one for the Cleveland Browns. You talked earlier in your press conference, said you guys have a plan. You have some a list. You got names on it. They're ranked, et cetera. Every option on the table in terms of trading, free agency, the draft, et cetera. This is the question I have. Is there anybody on that list where we would go to training camp, and if you got that person, there would be no quarterback competition?
I don't think that I ever want to be in that situation. I like the idea of, if I had Aaron Rodgers, I need to find Aaron Rodgers part two to get into that. I mean, whatever the name is, it doesn't matter. If you have a good one, you want a better one. And that's just the nature of the beast. You never want to settle for, oh, we have this, let's just rest on our laurels. The reality is that this is a violent game played by big men, and a high ankle sprain or a, you know, a turf toe or something could sideline a guy, and then where are you? So you better try to find not one.
I understand you
got to
have competition, but I'm
two.
Saying is there somebody out there in your mind that if you can get him onto this roster, that it is a realistic possibility that you could say, all right, going into camp, we at least have our guy that we can build around and give the reps to get ready. And maybe that is Johnny, but we just don't know, you know, when he'll be back from his personal development.
I would tell you that, again, I firmly believe that it's all about competition. It's about driving the roster in the right direction. And, you know, I don't like being beholden to names and any one individual or any one circumstance. because at the end of the day, teams win. People don't. So the best teams generally come out at the end, and that's what we want to do is put together a really good football team.
Given that you have two first-round picks, have teams started to inquire, given that you would be naturally the trade partner if somebody wanted to try to make a move up? Have teams been kind of inquiring about picks 12 and 19?
I will tell you that, you know, teams always inquire, and it's just the nature of the beast. You don't know until you know whether there's reality to those conversations. Teams inquire all the time. I know when I was a pro director in Kansas City, part of the exercise, if you will, of the process is you call all the teams in the league and try to find out, hey, you're moving up, you're moving down. And the generic answer you get, hey, we're open to both. So until it means something, it doesn't mean anything, I guess is the easiest way to put it. You'll hear a lot of scuttlebutt. You'll hear things by people saying, hey, this team is doing this, team is doing that. I can tell you no one really knows until it's finalized. And I can tell that from sitting in the seat last year. There's a lot of conversations about what could be, but nothing really was until those teams really called when it mattered.
Last year on draft day, you were very active. You traded down, picked up that extra first and a fourth from Buffalo. You also traded up to get Gilbert, traded up to get Johnny, traded up against Terrence West. Is that something that is going to be a staple of Ray Farmer on draft days, or is it just that's kind of the way the circumstance unfolded? What did you learn from making all those draft day trades?
I would tell you that it's always the circumstance that you're in. And, you know, at the end of the day, you organize your draft board, you pick from it. And to that end, you never want to be in a position where you say, look, hey, I'm moving around this year, because, you know, you may not have to. You know, I've seen teams do it and be very successful by not moving at all. When their pick comes, they make their pick. They pick the right guy. I've seen teams move around 10, 15 times in the draft and get the right guy. It's really about getting the right guy, regardless of how much you move or how little you move.
Last year you had 10 picks, ended up picking 6 players. Do you have a number in your head of how many of those 10 picks you actually want to use this year?
I think at the end of the day, you look at, you know, what are the right values for the right people and that can really advance your football team. When you run out of names and opportunity and circumstances that you think guys make a difference, then you move on. The question becomes is, who's available when it's your turn to pick, and are you really excited about that opportunity? We want to add the right guys to the Browns, not just a bunch of guys to the Browns.
You said that last year was a year of growth. We don't need to get into Textgate. You talked about that in your press conference today and said that you've learned a lot from that. You've been humbled from that. What have you learned the most about being a general manager in the NFL? Because you went through your first draft very quickly last year. What changes or what did you learn from that one that you've applied to the process this year that has you feeling even better headed into your second draft?
Timing. You know, you have more time to establish, set up, and create processes and procedures. I firmly believe that when you operate in the land of creating the right processes, then you can make more accurate decisions over time. And that's what it comes down to. You know, we talk about batting percentages and hitting percentages on draft picks, and over time I would tell you that a lot of the league is much the same. To that end, if you create the right processes, maybe you can, you know, advance that number by 2%, 5%, 10%, whatever it may be. But that over time is a big hit percentage for us. So that's what we try to work on, is our process.
What's the one lesson you think you found to be the most valuable after going through your first draft and your first process as a general manager in the NFL?
Wow, interesting question. I would probably say that the one thing that I think is the biggest is the sacredness of information. Like you can't get out of kilter when you do what you do. You got to make sure that you protect and you guard and you move forward. Again, we talk about smoke screens. We talk about letting information out. There's certain information that needs to go out, and there's other pieces that we don't want to go out.
So to that end, and also in terms of kind of how you put together your board, is there any difference from what you did in the first year to the second season?
Yeah, there is. I talked to guys like John Dorsey that helped me a lot, and different guys around the league that are able to give you some insight as to what you're doing. And, you know, you lean on different people around in and around that you know that help you understand, that, like, what do you want to accomplish? You know, at the end of the day, for me, it really comes down to sticking true to what we know. You know, we have a plan. We understand what we want to accomplish. And then that the next part is just execution.
And how much better would you say is your collaboration or the understanding of what that collaboration needs to look like between you and Mike Pettine now that you guys have had a year together, you've had the summit in Florida to kind of talk about how things went and come into year two?
I think that's huge. I think that the understanding of the roster is clearer on both sides of the fence. You know, Mike coming into a situation where he knew our team, but he didn't know our team like intimately, to have worked with guys and know some of the holes and or the good pieces or Now I think he has a much greater understanding of who we are and what we are, and I think that's really what you focus on, is bridging that gap and understanding what that looks like. And, you know, a lot of those conversations to me are a lot more fluid now because we're talking the same language. We're really in a position where we can flesh out some of those pieces of the puzzle earlier than later.
Last year in free agency, you brought in some veterans, Dante Whitner, Carlos Dansby, Andrew Hawkins, not young guys, but guys who came in. Not only did they produce, but they helped change the culture. In this second year, is that how you see free agency playing out again, or do you not need to necessarily go with maybe such seasoned players, and maybe in free agency you'll look for younger guys where you're looking more on field as opposed to what they can do both on and off the field in the locker room for you?
I think it's always a combination of the two. From our perspective, it's really about adding the right guys to the Browns. Quality people, there's really no substitute for it. You know, when you bring in quality people, they affect the room, they affect the team, they affect our fans in a positive way. And I think that's really what we focused on is, you know, the on-field play is the on-field play. Obviously, we want guys that can play football, and
sure,
that's the first line of demarcation. From there, you got to really kind of do your homework and try to figure out what you can about guys as to the people. And, you know, as it equates to free agency this year, I would tell you that the system from our mind never really changes in the sense that we want to be smart. We want to be judicious in what we do, and as we move forward, inevitably we want to grow our own Browns, but we're not opposed to going out and finding guys that we think can advance the ball sooner than later.
Speaking of growing your own Browns, some of the young players who have been kind of core on the defensive side of the ball, Buster Skrine, Jabal Sheard, free agents, Jordan Cameron on the offensive side, how is that proceeding, and is there one guy that you really want to make sure you get back?
Again, I would tell you that I try not to talk about our own guys and what's going to happen and what direction we're going to go with any of it. Inevitably, I do think that this is a fun time for me. I think it's a fun time for the players as well in the sense that...
Do you enjoy
that,
the negotiating aspect of it?
I would tell you this. It's tough.
I bet.
It's really tough. You know, from an agent's perspective, they try not to leave anything on the table. From the club's perspective, you want to get the best deal you can. And sometimes those two things don't match. And it's hard. It's tiresome. It's really mentally exhausting to try to find what's the right answer to the test, where both the player feels good about the circumstance and the team feels good about the circumstance. And that's a hard place to get to in a lot of situations. But it is good. It's good when you get a chance to talk to the agents, flesh out what the shortcomings in the long range plan would be for any particular player. And again, both sides got to come to an agreement as to what that looks like. But there is a mental side of it that's really fun.
Do you feel kind of more comfortable with that aspect last year? You re-upped Joe Hayden. Huge success on that deal. You brought in the veterans. Do you kind of feel kind of very comfortable already in that free agency area?
I would tell you that I feel comfortable, but it's not because of me. It's because of us. I think that the coaches, they're involved. You know, Sashi Brown. We have a lot of guys in the building that really are involved with the process. And so as we talk through, create values, look at the numbers, decide who's who, what's what, and where our guys stack up, there's a lot of ways to kind of to get to the end of the road. And I think it's our ability to work together that's really kind of has me in a place where I feel good about anything we may try to accomplish this offseason.
So you talked about bringing in guys of good character, guys who are going to play like a Brown. Of course, talking with Browns general manager Ray Farmer here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, live from the NFL Scouting Combine. Given kind of what happened with Josh Gordon and given what's going on with Johnny Manziel, does that make you hesitant to go with a guy like with red flags? Like, for example, Doriel Green Beckham. Is that somebody that's even on the radar for the Browns? Or do you, given situations that you want to stay away from, you know, how important are those red flags to you?
I mean, they're always important. You always take a look at what's available and what that means as far as both the talent and the person. Inevitably, if a guy doesn't have enough character to keep him on the field, then you're not going to get the rewards of the talent. So there's a balance there that you have to really kind of dance with. And, you know, from our perspective, we're not risk averse, but we're just trying to be risk tolerant. And I think there's a big difference between the two. It's like when you invest your money, you know, you want to be as risky as possible, but you want to make sure at the end of the day there's something there.
Yeah, so you want to make sure you still have that money for you. Looking at this roster, since we won't talk about weaknesses, where do you feel that this team is at its most solid? What position groups are you the happiest with? And I know you always want to drive competition, and I know that you will do that. But where are there positions that maybe you don't put right at the front burner in terms of having to address?
I would say that from a team perspective, I feel really good. I feel good about who our core group of guys are and what those guys look like and what they represent in our locker room. So to that degree, I'm very comfortable. beyond that, I think that everybody deserves more and more competition. So there's no position group. There's no position that I think, oh, man, this is great. We got everything that we would ever want, and there's no reason to try to improve where we're at. So to that end, I would tell you that I like the core group of people that are in that building, who they are, what they stand for, how they work, and what their goals and their aspirations are. And I think they believe in each other, which is a big part of it. And I think when guys believe in each other, then they can accomplish uncommon goals.
The Browns offensive line, widely regarded as being very, very solid. Michael Bowie, a guy that you brought in last year, had shoulder surgery. What are your expectations for him going into 2015? And he's somebody that you feel can compete to be a starter for this team.
I mean, the guy's played and he started in the past. And again, I think what you want are guys that have demonstrated that ability at a high level. And whether it's him, whether it's anybody else, we want those guys to come in and push the guys that are currently playing. And if they can't accomplish that task and they can't move guys in a position to where we feel like, hey, look, this guy's going to make us better as a football team, then we have other decisions to make. But I would tell you that I really like a lot of guys on this roster from that same position of I think they can compete with the guys in front of them, push us to make our roster better moving forward.
Ray, appreciate the time. Enjoy yourself here in Indianapolis as you continue to acquire talent or look at people that potentially acquire talent for the Cleveland Browns this year. 10 draft picks, 2 in the first round, so a lot of flexibility once again for you. And as you settle into your second season, certainly excited to see. I think that everybody would agree, no matter what they say, that the talent improved under your first year as general manager, 1-53 the year before, and I know that that's your goal to do that again this season.
Yeah, we're going to work hard at it. I know that everybody's focused on the same things. I think Jimmy's slated our goals really well. And we live by them, which is, you know, we want to compete to win our division. And the AFC North is not an easy place to go and say, hey, you want to win the division. But that's the primary goal, get into the playoffs and then eventually win Super Bowls. So, again, it's not going to stop. The charge is not going to change. We'll stick with the plan. We may adjust it, but we're not going to abandon it.
Ray, thank you so much for the time. Enjoy yourself and get some good scouting in there and find some future guys who want to play like Browns and help get this team to the playoffs and sustain success like we all want it.
Sounds good. Appreciate it, Nathan. Thank you.
That was the general manager of the Cleveland Browns, Ray Farmer, live from the Scouting Combine here in Indianapolis with you on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Gibbs, some good stuff there. A lot to digest, and I'm sure we'll dive into it a little bit more tomorrow, but your first impressions there, first thoughts from what you heard from the Browns general manager.
Just like Mike Pettine and just like he did earlier today. You know, I think he said the right things. I think he answered every question that you asked. There was no sugarcoating of anything. I thought that he had a lot to say. And, you know, it's clear what the priorities are. It might not be clear to us because he's not going to come out and tell us. But I liked what I heard. And, again, this is a big weekend for this franchise. It's the start of trying to figure out who your two first-round picks are going to be.
Sure.
And the rest of this draft and how this draft plays out could determine a lot, not just for this year with this football team, but the future of this football team.
No question. And clearly he's not going to give away any secrets, as he really wouldn't even allude to much in terms of personnel or what positions he wanted to target, etc. I do think it's interesting because it's a question I asked Mike Pettine earlier today as well, and he did not give a definitive answer either to it. I wanted to know, is there a quarterback out there that the Browns could end up with that would allow them to go into training camp without a quarterback controversy? I think that would be massively important for this team, and I hope that whether it come via trade that they, or maybe it's Jay Cutler. I think if you sign Jay Cutler, I'm pretty sure he's coming into camp as your starter, that the Browns can find somebody like that. Got to thank Ray Farmer for joining us. Thank Andrew Gribble, the notorious VIC, Vic Carucci, all for joining us here live from the Scouting Combine. We're going to have a lot of interviews from some of the great draft pundits and NFL insiders tomorrow on our show as we wrap up our coverage from the Scouting Combine here in Indianapolis. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys. For Jason Gibbs, I'm Nathan Zagura saying happy birthday to the kid. He'll be with us tomorrow on CBD. And stay tuned here on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.